this is a bit of a theme. Take back control. Fear the body, fear breath, teeth, flesh, sinew. Fear blood and belly, hungry fear, ambitious fear. Fear of people, other people. Sick sensation, hyperventilation, loss of a nation. Take back control, as if you ever had it. As if you could defend against random insults. As if life could shrink down to a manageable size. As if you were always in the right. As if you had wisdom instead of knowledge. As if you were king.
Thanks, Julie. And next we have Mary O'Connell.
This is called Wounded Eagle. Bearded eagle flies among the clouds, rays of sharp wings withstand the wildest storms. Fierce, he swoops on unsuspecting prey, carries them away to craggy heights. Curving talons grasp at newborn lambs, extract marrow from their brittle bones, before his steel-trap beak crunches them to pulp. Updrafts steer him steadily on course to carry out his murderous intent. A hard resolve has brought him to this place. Wounded as a fledgling, he rejects the easy comfort found on nursling slopes. Chooses a lonely eyrie in the Alps, where he may end his days in solitude. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Here we go for Jack Shortland, please.
This is loosely based on my mum and dad, for better or for worse. It was hard to say when exactly it started. The day he forgot where he parked the car, that could happen to anyone. Then the other stuff in succession. It's the scissors, Jack, you asked for the scissors. Switch that Skylark thing off, that Sky Lively thing. Some of this seemed to pass over, thank God, but his clock went awry and didn't come right, and his eyes had faded for her when she last dared to look in them.
Thank you, Jack. We have Phelps Glenn.
A quick short announcement. As Rab said earlier, I'll be performing with Mummy Harmony and other artists in Nana Nagel's place on Saturday and Sunday, and I would really love to invite you all to it. It's like a connection back to nature. It's going to be very spiritual, a few poems, some interesting, beautiful music, and there's actually, we're going to be planting a tree, an apple tree, in the Nana Nagel grounds at 3 o'clock, which is, and we're going to have a whole ceremony around it. Sounds very interesting, and I'm really looking forward to it, and I'd really hope that you guys can join us. Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah,
from 11 to 4.
Where are you planting the tree?
The tree will be planted, so very good, actually across away from the cafe.
What day are you planting?
Oh, Saturday at 3 o'clock. All dance. It's going to be very interesting, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I, as I said, I really would love it if you guys could join us. So I'm not going to do the poem I'm going to do there today. I'm going to do a different poem. This is called A Song from Voyager 2. If you don't know what Voyager 2 was, Voyager 2 was a satellite. It's the, one of the third. It's the second further satellite that NASA sent out, or the humanity race sent out. and last year it surpassed the sun's gravity, so now it's not, it's totally out past the heliopause. Don't worry what that is, but it just means that it's not picked up by the sun's gravity sway anymore. And when I read about it, it made me kind of sad. This came out of it, and there's a David Bowie reference and a Star Trek reference. There has to be a Star Trek reference. A song from Voyager 2. I've been swirling and spinning and slipping and swimming out from the ripples, spiraling out from the sun, churning out from the gravity sway. I can see my sister's dream rhyme, dream time, etched on a different way, where it punctured a hole in the heliopause. While I still obey the orders from ground control, root my fate to some sort of space chunk, I say, remember me, not a tool, but a song, that Sam, all I've seen, back to you somehow. Remember me as a seagull, that sinked in the gravities of the giants and the moons. I sing to you to listen, to hear a poem now from a voyager. I'm out here, I'm out here, I'll always be out here. I've gone where no man has gone before.
Thanks all. Can we have Charles Clark? Bristol and Bishop of Derry, an immensely rich and eccentric man, rebuilt the walls of Derry, built a gate, built a palace, which was subsequently at different times a shirt factory and a Freemason lodge. The one thing that several of his things do survive, particularly the house at Ickworth, which is an extraordinary thing to put in the middle like that, and it, on one side that isn't really finished, and the other side where the family actually live, Marquess of Bristol, as they now are. And he was quite extraordinary and eccentric. And he rebuilt quite a lot of Derry at the time, in the mid-18th century or thereabouts. However, very recently, there's been a bomb. A bomb disturbs the air near the Earl's Bishop's monuments, the gate, the palace, and whatever else. Outside the courthouse, there's a wreck, and the lads have run away and been caught. Is it all starting again?
And this is for a missing person. Seen as a guitar, flourishing otherwise, busking for a better world domination, asking for little but company and a drink. Not much persuading needed, going out saying, a ghost army of friends still moving forward. These neutral shoes with makeup, supreme attire, once early centuries of the best mind, slaking in on the priest's apiary. This undocumented hanging on, hanging limber still, listening no more to private tune. Once incarcerated, forgotten forever, you claw your way to your chosen paths. Are we really different? Let me count the ways. Witches in the night scavenge for drink. This historic case is not yours anymore. Holding a piece with a number like a monkey. Dispense a will into the laundry basket. An impotent cigar stolen on the cruelty of strangers. Just as you are, defining a purpose. Sanctuary of your house no longer relevant. Descriptive dissociation, conscious decoupling. Your history has terrorized the guilty parties. Enduring love, not absence anymore. Potential past and present merged together. Descriptive burn of pages well discharged. Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia. Can we have Killian O'Regan, please?
This is sweetly bitter. What I would give just to relive those 2 years, to hear your voice again, that silencer of larks bringing light to the dark, to lose myself once more in those deep groves from which you observe our wild world, to skip more heartbeats when you enter a room and craft indelible moments. What I would give just to relive those 2 years, even if it means heartbreak.
This is a poem by a Portuguese poet who was in university work in languages in Spain during the Salazar oppressive period in Portugal. Anyway, seems to have been quite an academic. I know very little about Rui Belo. Rui Belo. This is called Requiem for a Dog. Requiem upon calm. I'll read a few words of Portuguese so you get a little bit of a flavour of the original rhythms and what you have, as best I can. As best I can. But I won't read that much Portuguese. I'll break into the English. So bear with me. Dog that each morning sniffed the street, the grass, pebbles, gravel, the paving stones, cauca, matinalmente, farageves, calçada, as ervas, os calhaus, os seixos, the scraps of food, os restos, the comida, the scraps of food, the scraps of morning, os restos, the manhã, the fallen rain, a chuva, antes, caída and convertida and converted into a kind of halo for the earth, numa aureola de terra. Dog that sniffed all of this, that sniffs none of this. It took but a second. Un segundo, súbito, efficaced, and you were sandwiched, squeezed, squashed, and flattened in sandwiched. Reduced and flattened by the unfeeling wheels of a massive truck. Tell me, or bark at me, what you had and now don't have. Are you some qualquer moderno meio de comunicação, some modern means of communication to explain, dog? What spark disappeared from your eyes? What's missing from your body? Still, the very same body, just backed up or freeze-dried. You were alive, and you died, and that's all. And your owners, if you had any, always talked of you when they talked of you in the present. Now, they'll talk in the past. Something changed from one moment. The momento para o outro. From one moment to the other. Mudou alguma coisa. Coisas sem importância. De maior para que eu passe. Indiferente. Até ao alo da manhã. De pensamento posto em coisas práticas. Em coisas próximas. You were alive and you died, that's on your own, or something changed for one moment. Where was we? Is who pass something of scant importance for those who pass by, oblivious even to the morning's halo, their minds focused on practical things, on upcoming things. Dog that died so canine meant. Dog that died so doggishly. Dog that dies and that makes me think of stopping until the policeman tells me to keep on moving. So what happened? A dog, just a dog that was and now isn't.
Can we have Joe Doherty, please?
Hello, this is my first poem I've ever written, so I'm kind of bearing me case. It is called The Coping Noose of Weed, which I wrote when I gave up last week. So, burning a hole in my lungs and my soul, you've become my friend, my partner, my nurturer, my converser. However, quite the toxic company. You chain me to my bed, replacing food and oxygen. My lungs rattle in dispute, I do not listen. Instead, I inhale every piercing toke. My blood trickles with relief from the familiar, yet twisted, satisfying pain I provoke. A penance I've bestowed upon myself. The crime, however, is a great complexity of the self-loathing profanity that has hijacked me. A foreign voice who so boldly squats in the shadows of my domain. Stay with me, it whispers. And only grants access to illusions of hope, rewarded with a momentary release of peace, indulging in the hopes of slumber. However, I know you now, and I know where you hide in the shadows. You are but a thief of sleep, a thief of dreams, a thief of me, my solitary reaper.
No idle threat.
Kind of adds to it.
To think that we won't have for you would be a grave mistake. That we'll suffer all your losses as you take and take and take. That we'll go quietly into the night as you inject stress into our days. Attempt to shade a piercing light and manipulate our ways. Your idle threats and schemes consider us unfazed that you could project manage our best instincts into only what pays. That your ideals could corrupt us, that our third eye would glaze. That we won't see you scamper out the back door through your smokescreen haze. Natural like a plant works, sucking water from its roots. You steal from us our concepts and sell us back your truths. Where honor has no traction and logic no use. And our feet aching walking in other people's shoes. Marching after mysteries and paying tax on clues. The rope made to make a noose has produced many a lit fuse. Between a bad deal and no deal, you ask us to choose and simulate success while we consistently lose. Just know that time isn't linear, you rule the roost now. When morality is currency, we'll be fatted cows and you'll come to us crawling for who's and what's and how's. I hope to give you the time of day that our patience allows. That we maintain the peace of a second slap cheek. That you make 95 from stacks of 9 to 5 weeks. But I can promise nothing, and for you I cannot speak. Just know that choices made in freedom from prosperity's peak.
will be remembered when you're desperate and sighted when you're weak. We can only go down. The fall of time spent seeing straight, you have failed to look around. That beneath your bordered fences there lies common ground. May you connect with your humanity and humility be found, and give thanks that this land is above water, for otherwise you'd drown.
Final reader is Colleen here.
Hello all, because I'm finishing this up, I'll try to make it short and sweet. I'd love to say it's only the three paragraphs, but we'll just say it's three long paragraphs. I'm no good for giving openers, but I'm very good at speaking fast, so hopefully we might be able to
take your time.
Go through this. Oh,
take
thank you. But the one thing I'd say before I even start, firstly, you'll see how unproductive I am. I started this in April, and I'm only three paragraphs in. And secondly, I suppose I just love to say how great a woman my grandmother was. And I was only thinking about this when I started writing this. Basically, there's two main reasons. Firstly, she gave me my father. He stands at 6 foot 8 and he's a hard-working good man. And then secondly, I'd never mourned a woman because she lived so well to the age of 94. Anyway, without further ado, I suppose this isn't spoken in my tone, but it might as well be her tone because sure this isn't so one tone. All right, here we go. Cats. I hate cats. Watch them out there on the pavement, biting the ears and tearing the scruff from one another over a saucer of milk. From what I can see, not what I can see, what with the cataracts, glasses with more cracks than my own son's marriage, and 94 years under my belt, while I play with the black kitten. Kids these days, they keep saying cats are adorable, the way they boop and snoop, curiosity. Well, it wasn't all too cute when the black boots as the white straight into the eye when lapping from that saucer. That's when all hell broke loose. That feline sharpness kicked in. The saucer spilled over. The July sun is going to rot the milk. And Christ above, can someone just put me into a home already? The sores under my knee joints are developing their own cluster of sores. I sponge myself down in the same sink I cleaned the dishes. What has it got to take for my now adult son to cop on and realise that his mother's becoming a downright disgusting? Our bride he had you across the hill was mistaken to bat for the toilet half a dozen times. Early onset dementia. Now she has one of those electric memory foam beds over in senior signature like self-care home. Instead, I get cats. The leftover runt of the bachelor that keeps constantly pregnant, good for nothing, sighing me something or the other. Matthew, that's my son. Dot. That's the name of their cat. It belongs to his wife. That's the last I'll say about her. Actually, now that I'm on the topic, I'll go on to say that she made the right show of herself in my husband's wake. There I was, sat at the head of his coffin, as I would be though, the constant keeper, right until the end. There he was, Matthew, by my side. A spot on his nose the day of his father's funeral. Typical of the boy. Most lads grow out of these things by the time they're married. Stress spots, he calls them. Have you ever heard the like? Anyway, there she was, her kitchen chair literally piled onto his kitchen chair. Might as well just stick him into one kitchen chair at that rate. Grooming his shoulder, resting her hand on his knee, solemnly looking into her own snots and those hankies women seem to take to these events. It gets better than that, though. That was only the hook before the sinker. So, she's wearing some sort of a belt. I couldn't call it a skirt. And had you been there, you wouldn't have called it much else. Insect of a woman, all knees, bones, and too much of a nose, all that in mind, and our Matthew still stupidly tells her to fix her skirt, it's too revealing. I make myself laugh, so I do. I thought to myself, doesn't matter what she's revealing, because there'd be no proper man interested anyway. Taught it? I probably said it too. I'm old. I don't even remember what I said at the beginning of the story. I'm glad I had it. I sure as hell don't remember saying yes to these cats.
Well, thanks again for James Finnegan for an excellent reading.
Yay! Yay!